Light in this present darkness, this is Abounding Grace. Stumbling about in the darkness? Join us now for a time of light in the Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
In John chapter 17, Jesus says something that really must have jolted the disciples. They are about ready to fall hard. They are about ready to abandon the Lord in the hour of Him going to the cross. It was a great sin. And Jesus knew that they would need encouragement as they go forward. And what a motivating, what a beautiful section of scripture. How many times do we fall and stumble? And how many Christians out there today feel like just giving up? And here, the Lord counters that by teaching them His sovereignty. Now, I say that today because, and I emphasize this today, because most Christians don't appreciate this teaching as they should. In fact, they react against it. But if Jesus knows this is happening, I want you to see the remedy that He gave for them. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up His eyes to heaven, and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son also may glorify You, as You have given Him authority over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as You have given Him." Now, what is He saying? He's simply praying, "Oh, let me fulfill the work You've given me to do and not lose one, but save every single one You know by name, that none of them would be lost." Now, that is so important. We've been unpacking that this week on Abounding Grace. So important for Christianity and how we go forward, because it inspires faith. It inspires confidence. It inspires trust in His work for us. All of those whom the Father loved and knew and predestined and elected to be given to the Son. The Son has come to this hour so that all of them might be given eternal life and none of them lost. Now, if you're struggling with the teaching today, be honest with verse 2. "You have given the Son of Man authority over all flesh," the eternal Son of God, "authority over all flesh that He should give eternal life to as many as You have given Him." That is election, dear friend. That is the powerful, beautiful teaching of election. And Jesus was saying this all throughout His ministry. We can't just wink at those verses or avoid those verses in the Bible that seem to teach these things that we don't like. "My sheep," said Jesus, "hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of My hand. My Father who has given them to Me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of My hand." You've got two ways to look at that. You could take the way that people avoid the teaching today and say, "Well, that just seems unfair." Or you could say, "Wow, look at what He's doing. He's telling us all of His sheep will be saved." You see, people today see this teaching as a great evil because to them it doesn't seem fair, but that's the wrong way of looking at the teaching. The teaching is bolstering assurance in those who believe that nothing can challenge the work that Christ has accomplished. When He said it is finished, He meant it is finished. And so Jesus now demonstrates that in prayer, by speaking to His Father, that the work that has to be done, He explains how He has brought eternal life to us and how it is known. Listen to verse 3. "And this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent." Did you hear that? That the blessedness of Christ's work is that He brings you into a communion and true knowledge of God. I find this so powerful today to study, because just before the disciples fell and they would be scattered, what did Jesus do for them? Jesus just revealed that because they love Him and because they believe in Him, they are loved by the Father. And what happened in them? They believed. Remember verse 30, what they said in the last chapter. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God. Now remember, dear listener, that's a confession. They just said, we believe you. We believe in you, Lord Jesus. The Lord had said earlier to Peter, flesh and blood doesn't reveal that to you. In other words, you didn't come up with that on your own. Remember when Peter said, Jesus asked, who do men say that I am? Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hasn't revealed that to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And Jesus said in John 6, my work is to bring about faith. Remember they said that? What shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus said, this is the work of God that you believe. So, God's work is to produce saving faith in the heart. He gives you as a gift faith. So what Jesus is saying here is this. The evidence of eternal life now is my work of bringing a true knowledge to you of who God is. The only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. You see, people today think they know God. This was the problem with the Jews, and Jesus made it very clear that they didn't worship the true God. They worshiped a phantom of their own imagination. Jesus told the Jewish nation they did the works of their father, the devil. That's what he said to the religious leaders of the Jews. They thought they worshiped God, but didn't. Now that leads to the question, then how do you know you have the right religion? Jesus just prayed it, making it very clear by linking himself together with his Father that the only way God is known, the only way God the Father is seen, the only way you know God is in the face of Jesus Christ. He reveals him. So in other words, there is no salvation for anyone who doesn't know Jesus as God. That is a bold statement. There is no salvation for anyone who doesn't know Jesus as God, who has believed in him as sent from God, as truly divine, truly human. Now, that means then, if you know Jesus Christ today, if you love Jesus Christ, if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you've trusted in Jesus, you know God. Because Jesus is the only revelation and access to the Father. Now, do you see how he just prayed? Let me put this together. It's going to be so comforting today. I've done the work, O Father, of giving life to those whom you've given me, and now they know you. They know you. You see, if you believe and know Christ today, think of the grace that's been given to you. I've challenged you with this before, but have you thought about how persistent the Lord has been in your life, if you're a Christian today, to bring you to this place? Or maybe today's working on you. Think of all the patience he's shown to you in your life. Through all of your foolish choices, all of your sins, all of your ignorance, just right down to rebellion against his word. Here you are today listening to this broadcast at this moment, at this particular second, thinking about the knowledge of God. That's grace, dear listener. That's powerful, sovereign grace. Maybe you grew up in the church and you've walked away from it. And today you're convicted about that. You know, even through the church with all of its faults, still, if you look over the course of your life, maybe you've experienced some abuses in the church. Still, look at the big picture. Hasn't the Lord worked through it all to bring you where you are today? Maybe specific Sunday school teachers or influences, all of those places in life where the Lord had been persistent to give you that knowledge. And then to think that he raised up preacher after preacher, puts them on every corner in every city to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I am so burdened today that pastors do that. Do you know all of those things are blessings that the Father has heard the Son's prayer? Given that day on John 17 and that prayer, that high priestly prayer. You see, Jesus says in verse 4, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I'm overwhelmed by verse 4. Did you catch that? The whole prayer is given as if it's already done. I finished it, says Jesus. In other words, I have given them eternal life. Based upon the completion of that hour of him going to the cross, it's done, dear listener. Do you know that was the greatest comfort? What was the greatest comfort to the Lord Jesus Christ in him going to the cross? You ever thought about that? What drove him forward? You know what it was? It was the promise, the glory of the Father, and also the work the Father had given him to do that a certain people had been given to him by his Father and that they would be saved through his suffering. 7 times Jesus says this in this prayer. Verse 2, 6, 9, 11, 14. He speaks of those given to him by his Father. That was his comfort. In other words, do you know what was the reward for him going to the cross? It's the believing Christian. You're a Christian today, it's you. You're a reward. And so what is Jesus' request for himself? He says, since I've finished the work, I ask, Father, that you would glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. In other words, I've done it all. And I want now what I enjoyed with you in eternity before the world was even made, before the incarnation. And there's your witness to the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons who deny the deity of Jesus Christ, that he is true God. He just said it. I enjoyed all of that with you before the world was. Jesus enjoyed a glory with his Father. He possessed all of the glorious attributes of God in his being. But you know what? There was also an outward glory, a visible shining, the Shekinah glory. That glory was so bright, so brilliant, so radiant and holy, engulfing fire, no one can see it and live. When he came to this earth and took on our nature, he never ridded himself of any divinity or attributes, but that shining glory for a time was veiled. How moving is this? Father, I want that radiant glory we had together before the world was, now that the work is complete and I've saved them. One day, if you're a Christian today, you will be able to gaze upon him in that glory in the new heavens and new earth. What a prayer, right? What went through their minds? What goes through your mind? You know this? Christ went to this hour, and he was raised and seated, and the disciples would never forget those words as they went forward. That must have given them great encouragement as disciples. And today you can thank him in a few ways to apply this. Lift up your eyes and pray to him. And be diligent in the tasks and duties he has given to you to do for his glory. And remember, Jesus came to bring the knowledge of God to this lost and dying world. The more you are transformed by that knowledge, the more you are assured of his grace, the more you will make him known. That's why you exist. Whatever lies ahead, dear listener, we should always remember this prayer that Jesus went through that hour of the cross to save those given to him by the Father, that we might enjoy the wonderful knowledge of God in the blessed face of Jesus Christ. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's Days are the worship service times. We'd love to have you join us. LindenURC.com is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.